Riverside. This Channel 2 Right, and a continuation of the visit with Mr. Eastman this Saturday afternoon, the 19th of December, 1970. Now, this is Channel 2 Right, and a continuation of the visit with Mr. Eastman this Saturday afternoon, the 19th of December, 1970. He came up to finish fixing the pump, had to put a gadget of some sort on it that he couldn't get it wins, the new wins, or he got it at Johnny Palmer's. And this is Channel 2 Right. Channel 2 Right, and he came when we told him to, and he had a little time to spare. So he visited a long time. This is Channel 2 Right, Mr. Eastman's visit this Saturday afternoon, 19th of December, 1970. We had nothing else on except Faye, Mr. Haircut. Now this has to go clear up to 150. The tape starts at 150. And I bring the check in there, and Mr. Eastman is, I have it in there, and Mr. Eastman's figuring up what I owe him. The 150, at 150.
change so darn fast. So darn fast. That morning you made a trip or two, you know. Get that jet.
Well, to have that in your compensator is $4. And about $1.25 for today. And then the other day that I was up here, I took that motor apart. I had to drain the water out of that tank out there, you know, and take the tank off, swing the tank around so that I could get them bolts out of the motor to get the head off. See, and you got to get that head off in order to file them points in there, see?
Well, I'll be done.
Well, then I got that, I got them all together and put back in there.
Well, why don't you put it back a little different?
And then it wouldn't start, so I went and got my test light, and I checked out, and I see that that compensator was dead.
Mm.
So the whole thing there comes to $12.75.
Let me tell you, Miss Ethan, hell, you needed somebody to sort of give you a hand on that.
Well, I got it after a bit.
You know what Cookie did with that pump over there? He just discarded it. And went down at Sears, and they had a sale on a little half horse jet, and he bought a brand new one and took it over and put it in and had water ever since.
Oh, we put a new pump on.
Yeah. Yeah. Brand new. And, I told you, I had learned better than to try to match up old stuff. Unless you got a place where you can try it out. Now, I remember this man was out here one time, and I was having trouble, and I didn't know any better. He worked up here at Gainesville. He's a good fella. Name's Tice, I think. And he's from over. He had the Shorty Bean. He worked up that Shorty Bean. And he had the equipment up there that he could just test it, you see, and see what he's going to do. Well, and if you got to put it down in these things and see what it's going to do, and then you don't know all the time, you can get more trouble than your money you save. You can't save money on old stuff now.
Not necessarily. You got to have a jet down in there, or you ain't going to get no water.
Yes. Now, I don't know how he slipped up on that, Mr. Eastman. Save me. I don't know how he slipped up on that jet business. What is the man down there? He was running the court and selling Bibles?
Yeah. That ain't what I told you down here.
I put it close to it. Let me tell you, Miss Eastman, now somewhere along the line you learned to write smart about Bibles that you don't talk about.
That's all he wants to do, is just sell Bibles, you know.
Yeah.
He don't want to do anything else, you know.
Yeah.
He said that those cabins weren't clean enough to rent. Well, I said, why don't your wife clean them up? I said, and get the money coming in here. He says, God didn't make my wife to be a cleaning woman.
Oh, really? Is that right?
That's what he told me.
Is that right?
He said, God didn't make my wife to be a cleaning woman.
Yeah. Well, where'd he come from?
He's from up...
Up in your country?
Up in your country, not mine. He's from up and around them. Berea.
Yeah, yeah. Well. Yeah.
But you know, you take it, he's a 7-day man, see?
Yeah.
Now, Saturdays, why, they won't hardly get themselves anything to eat.
Uh-huh.
You know, up where I come from, there was a 7-day man, 7-day Baptist. And on Saturdays, they get up Saturday morning, milk the cows and feed them. I'll say this is in the winter time, see, it don't make any difference. But summer was just the same. In the summer, they just turned the cows out in the pasture, and that was it. But in the winter, they'd milk the cows and feed them. They wouldn't clean the barn or do a darn thing, by Jesus, till the next day.
Is that right? Well, now, they got some satisfaction out of that, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, Sunday, boy, they'd work their head off on Sunday. But Saturday, you couldn't get them to do nothing.
Yeah. Well, now, you talk about my country. Your country up there has produced some fine specimens.
Well, Jesus, I guess your country has too up there. There's, well, what the heck was that vice president's name coming up there?
Yeah. But you see, you produced the Mormon people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you take it out around Palmyra there, you know. Yeah. That's out in the western part of the state around Rochester and Palmyra.
Oh, is it that far?
Well, it's between our place and Rochester, Palmyra.
Yeah. Yeah. So at one time up there, they paid attention to the Bible, didn't they?
Oh, I guess they did. I never knew too much about their activity up in there, but there's still quite a few of them around there, I think.
Yeah.
They have a big homecoming there every summer.
Yeah. Yeah. I never have known any of the Advent people.
Now this fellow's a 7-day Advent down there, that Miller.
Yeah.
But he come from around Berea there someplace.
Yeah.
And that 7-day church sent him down here, you know. And when he come down, they furnished him this brand new trailer and moved it down here. Well, now whether they're paying for him to move to Tampa or not, or whether he's doing that on his own, I don't know.
Yeah. Well.
But I guess he sold a pile of Bibles.
Yeah.
They said he was a sticker. You know, he went down there to McIntosh, down to old lady Brown's.
Yeah.
And, of course, the old lady Brown's got one son that's a preacher, see? Up around Tallahassee someplace. He's clear up next to the Alabama border. I can't think of the name of the place. But he stopped down there at the old lady Brown. He was bound to sell her some Bibles, you know. She told him she didn't want any. She had enough. Said she had a son that was a preacher, and she didn't need any more Bibles. Well, he said, if your son's a preacher, you ought to have two more Bibles. And he kept right on. She told him that she didn't want any, and he was just wasting his time talking there, that he better run along. And geez, he still wouldn't go, you know. And she ordered him out, and he wouldn't go. Boy, he said, you can't sell Bibles, he said, if you don't stick. She said, all right, if you want to go, I said, I'll call the sheriff. And geez, she went over to the telephone, started to dial the telephone. My God, he grabbed up his paraphernalia and he went out of there in a hurry.
Now, how did you get that information, Miss Easton?
She told me that.
She told you?
Mrs. Brown told me
that. Dan McIntosh. That's the man, see, that's running, or trying to run, Hargis Court.
He was down there. He's moved down to Tampa now.
Yeah, he's already gone.
He wouldn't do nothing down there.
Well, he'll have a lot of customers down there. Just the woods is full of them.
But there was five or six different nice cars, nice looking people, you know, that stopped in there when I was putting that roof on and wanted to rent an apartment for the winter. By Gina Miller wouldn't rent them to him. He said that they were too dirty to rent. They wouldn't. Well, I said, why don't you have your wife clean them up? He said, God didn't make my wife to be a cleaning woman.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do nothing about getting them clean. And they could just well hire somebody to clean them up, you know. Well, they want too much money to hire somebody to clean them up. Well, no matter how much money they had to pay to get them cleaned up. If they got them cleaned up and rented, well, they'd have something coming in.
Miss Eastman, how would you find somebody to clean them up now?
Yes. Well,
geez, there's a lot of people there that would do that work. There's a bunch of colored women down there at Orange Lake that would be tickled to get a job cleaning them up from another.
Well, they wouldn't charge just minimum wage.
Well, not too much, no. But that Miller, he just didn't want to have too many people in there to look after. Now, that's the way I looked at it.
Yeah. That's a beautiful place.
Well, I'd like to see him sell that and get that thing going again, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see there's somebody moved a trailer in there where this Miller moved out. A small trailer in there.
Now, that just went to pot, didn't it? Now, Mr. Hargett, he had that heart attack.
Yeah. And Ann told me that she fell on the floor. And Charlie picked her up and put her in a chair, right where she was sitting when she was telling it to me. And she says, he turned around and sat down in that chair. And he says, oh. And he was done.
Yeah. And she had been consuming this alcohol for so long.
She had. Yeah.
So you don't know whether she's in bad health or just...
Charlie didn't drink.
No.
But the day before that, I was there doing some work for Charlie. We was out over there with one of the trailers. And all at once, Charlie didn't say nothing. I turned around to say something to him. He was laying on the ground. I went over and I said, are you sick, Charlie? Well, I just didn't feel good, he said, and I thought I'd stretch out a minute. Well, in a few minutes, he got up and everything was all right. You know, I often wondered if he didn't have one of them spells right then.
Yeah.
Could have.
Miss Eastman, you cleaned out your truck. You didn't have any equipment in there last time I looked in.
Some of
I tell you, you couldn't get along without that now, could you? That spoiled you.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I've always had trucks like that, you know.
Yeah.
That, and then I had ton and a half trucks. And
yeah.
One thing and another.
Yeah.
I had a darn nice 34 ton and a half Chevrolet truck. And I had it up on the farm in the garage, and the garage was built right in under the porch.
Yeah.
See, the house sat on the side hill. And then it had this big, what they called a summer kitchen, down cellar.
Oh, yeah.
And then back of the summer kitchen was a regular cellar back in there, see? Well, then, to the left of that, I built on a 10-foot porch. And I dug out and under there, see, and made a garage in under there. And I had this Chevrolet truck in there. And it was in the wintertime, I think the 10th of January. They had quite a lot of snow and one thing and another up there. Geez, and the house burned up and the truck burned up with it. They just well got that truck out, you know. I wasn't there. They had an awful cold spell. And some of the water pipes had froze up down to the school.
Yeah.
And I was down there working on them water pipes. And they called me and said that the farmhouse was on fire. See, I was living in the village.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus, I went up over that hill flying. Don't you think I didn't? But when I got there, Jesus, everything was just about gone. There were two or three. That was an old big frame house, you know, with them big beams in it.
Yeah.
And they was 12, 8-inch beams, 8x12. It went up, you know, to hold the upper part. And they were still standing there burning when I got up there. But the rest of it had all caved in. You know, they had 6 ton of chestnut coal there in the cellar.
Yeah.
Do you know we couldn't put that out?
Oh.
Like, Jesus, you douse that with water and you think you had everything all drowned out. And the next thing you knew, the darn stuff was smoking again. And Jesus, I suppose, I've thought of it since. If when we drowned it out there, if we'd shoveled it over, see, it was in that cellar kitchen. And if we'd have shoveled it over, we might have got it put out. And there was 100 bushel of potatoes in the cellar. And about 100 bushel of apples. And geez, you know, we had baked potatoes there for quite a while.
Did you really?
Yeah. You can go down cellar, you know, and pick them right out. Baked, oh God, they were really, really nice and baked.
Yeah. But 100 bushels will last you a long
time.
Oh
God, we didn't use that many.
I was thinking.
I'll bet we had up maybe 5 bushel in baked potatoes that we just got out of there.
Yeah.
How about that?
The apples there, they all went.
Yeah.
A little too hot for them.
Yeah.
A little too hot for them.
Yeah, they was all done.
Let me tell you what I found out, Mr. Eastman, the other day. You know, I was, when I come down here, I thought I'd put in some sweet potatoes. Because I come from the sweet potato country, I'll say, you know, and I found out that they don't raise good potatoes in here. Then I found out that they can if they will. If they get the early variety and just dig it and try to get it off and, you know, on there get the early price, it's just tasteless.
I first come down there to Orange Lake, there was sweet potato patch in there where that restaurant sits.
Yeah.
And the people that had them in there had to give up digging them. Jesus, we went over there and dug sweet potatoes. Hell, well, some of them was that big around and even that long, you know.
Yeah.
I dug sweet potatoes right where that restaurant sits.
Yeah. You know how much they sell for in the stores now?
Jesus, there are plenty.
2 for a quarter. 2 pounds for a quarter. Why?
Well, you know, I was down at Johnny Palmer's store working one day. Oh, probably 2 months ago. And a tractor trailer stopped out in front, loaded with sweet potatoes, going down to Well, someplace down below Orlando, I can't think of the name of the place, there's a big canning factory down there that cans sweet potatoes and stuff. And how many potatoes do you suppose he had on that tractor trailer? Over 1,300 bushel. God, they were nice potatoes, too.
Yeah.
They were field run just as they come right out of the field.
Yeah.
Well, I saw sweet potatoes on that. Jesus, they were that big around, you know, and maybe that long.
Yeah.
Jesus, they were some old big. But they come from up there in North Carolina. Yeah. And what the heck that fellow was doing over on that road, I don't know. But he was supposed to have been down there to that place with that load of potatoes at 5 o'clock that night. And he went in and called up down there and told him he couldn't make it till the next night. Now, what his idea was, I don't know. He pulled off, you see, off from 441 and got over on old 441 down there. Now, he knew where he was going, that fella did.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
He pulled in there and stopped. And, well, he was there to John Palmer's there for an hour or better.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people wanting to buy some of them sweet potatoes, and he wouldn't sell them.
Don't you know?
No, because they didn't belong to him, see? The other day I was working up to Freddy's Laundrette, a couple, 3 weeks ago. There's a fellow from the northern part of Florida, right up next to the Georgia line. Stopped in there with a pickup truck, and he probably had 25 or 30 bushels of sweet potatoes on that, in bushel baskets. He stopped in there, and his wife went in to luncheonette to get some dinners put up. He sat out in front there, and geez, a colored fella come along and bought a bushel of them, you know. Freddie see it, and Jesus, Freddie went right out, and he told that fella, he said, "You better get the hell out of here. You're on my property." He says, "And I swell sweet potatoes."
Oh.
See? Well, the fella says, "As just quick as she comes out with them dinners," he says, "we'll take off." Well, I said, "Have you got a lot of sweet potatoes?" "Well," he says, "I got probably 1,000 bushel up home." "Well," I said, "if you want to sell them, you go down to Lake Wales," is where it was.
Oh.
"Down to Lake Wales," I said, "they got that cannon factory down there." I said, "they'd probably buy them." But God, he says, "I'm going to head right down there."
Yeah. You know, if a fella had the nerve, he could just load up with sweet potatoes and go down the road and just stop on the side of the road where there's a few people.
And peddle them.
Everywhere he went, people would be glad to get them this season.
Well, I don't know. We don't care too much for sweet potatoes. We eat lots of white potatoes.
Yeah.
Old John Palmer said, "What the hell's the matter with you?" He says, "You're in the South," he says, "you got to learn to eat like the Southerners," he says. "Eat sweet potatoes and peanuts."
And catfish.
I used to go down there, you know, John, and buy them 50-pound bags of potatoes. Sometimes you'd buy a 100-pound bag of them.
Yeah.
And John said, "I can't see what's the matter with you," he says, "you know. Eat like the Southern people," he said.
Now, he, you know, he got a little of everything, hadn't he?
Yeah.
But if I was in a store like that, for you, I would just be tempted to buy a little of everything and come along.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he cleared over $20,000 down in that store last year.
Yeah. Cleared it.
Mr. Eastman.
Clint's $20,000.
Bubba's
expenses.
You know, he makes a lot of money on peanuts down there. See, he buys them peanuts, you know, from New Mexico. Them old great big ones, you know, to be that long. And then He runs them through the sheller scene and sells them for seed. Boy, I'm telling you, he buys them things by the carload down there, see? And get them down there. Well, I said carload. They come there in a tractor trailer load, you know, and that's pretty near the same as a carload. One of them old big tractor trailers that come in there. And some of them have 25 ton on. Well, you know, John makes a lot of money on them peanuts running them through that sheller.
Well, is that part of the $20,000?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, yes, I knew he did that, but I had forgotten that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure, I've rebuilt that sheller down there 3 times. You know, different, you get them different colored fellas in there to run it, you know. And just as long as anything will run, well, they'll run it. They'll have it all tore to pieces, you know. And then you've got to start, finish taking it down and start and build it up.
Yeah.
Well, then when I first started in there, the first thing, went down there and they run the sheller. And all they had was it run from the sheller after it went through the cleaner and everything was all cleaned up. The peanuts went over there and all he had was just an oil drum, see, to catch the peanuts in. Well, then when that got full, they had to shut everything off and run them peanuts there through the treating process there. See, they run them through a dusting process to treat them against rodents eating them, and then there's some peanut disease that they treat them against. Well, I said, John, you'd ought to have a bigger bin, I said, to catch them peanuts in. I said, instead of shutting that off all the while. God, it didn't take but a few minutes, you know, to run 50 gallons of them peanuts. Yeah, but he said, where am I going to get it? I said, John, I know where they're just what you want. I said, Don McKay used to make them chicken feeders, them automatic chicken feeders. Mm-hmm. And I said, he's got one or two of them big round tubs there. I said, they're 3 foot high, and then they come down on the bottom like a funnel, I says, where the feed used to run out to go down into them conveyors. And I said, I don't know what he asked for one, but I said, if he'd got one over there and you could buy it, I said, geez, we could hang that right up and under the rafters right there and then blow them peanuts, or run them peanuts with the elevator right into it. And then I said, we'd make a spout and come right down into that other. Jesus already says, we'll right up there and see Don. So we went up and geez, he bought it off and Don. And we started to hang it up there, and I said, gee, what we ought to have is a rim right around under the middle of where that funnel comes down to hold that. And I said, and then we could put some irons from that right up to the ceilings. Yeah, John said, but we ain't got any of them. I said, yes, you have two, John. I said, I know where there's a lumber wagon tire off one of them light lumber wagons. I said, it's got about a 2-inch rim and it's 1/2-inch stuff. Where, he says. I says, on that Reddick Road right behind that tenant house, that house you rent up there. I said, I see one sitting against a maple tree up in there. But God, if you know where it is, you go get it, he says. So I went and got it. And we took and measured that right around that and we made some angle irons to come right up the side of the funnel part there, you know, and right up around the side, and we fastened them right into the rafters and put it up there. And you know, that darn thing, that'll hold about 2,500 pounds of peanuts in there, see? Well, God, you know, you run that old sheller there for quite a while to fill that up. Well, then another thing, when I first went down there, they had this, what they call the shaker. They put the peanuts in that first, and it shakes the dirt all out and gets all of the straw out of it and stuff before it goes into the sheller. And then there's a big fan under it, you know, that blows the dirt and stuff all out. Well, the table was up about this high.
About head high.
About head high, see? Well, they had a platform there about like this table here, you see, and a step onto it here. One fellow would take a bag of peanuts and put it up on there, and another fellow would take it and put it up on the top to dump it down in there, see? Well, I said, John, if you only had an elevator, sit right here and dump them peanuts right on the floor, right into it, and then let them go up and elevate and come right over into that. He says, what's the matter? He says, I never thought of that. He said, we'll get an elevator. So he went right down and called up the people that made them. He had two other elevators in there, one that caught the peanuts out of the shaker and elevated them up into the threshing part. And then the other one caught them after they come down through the thresher, see, and elevated them up so they'd get down through the cleaner. So, he sent and got an elevator, and I chopped a hole in the cement floor and set it in there. And so now all I got to do is just dump the peanuts right in there, you know, and they elevated right up and come right down through. And makes it pretty good. So I rebuilt that thing down there three different times. I used to do a pile of that machine work up north there. See, I took care. I was the maintenance man for 5 different milk stations. It was owned by one company. And they'd send up milk machinery in there, you know, geez, I never had seen. And we'd go to some other plant and look it over and see how it run, and I'd come back and set it up. And take them big...
Oh, that's what the cat...
Them big powdered milk machines. Did you ever see one of them run?
No.
They got those big steam, big rollers, you know, they're about 3 feet through them. And the steam and a live steam in them, see, and they run right tight together like that, see, like this right around. And then on the end is an end to go right on tight against that, see. Well, your milk comes in here or in between them, right in like that, and as them rolls run around, they're hot, and the milk sticks on them.
Oh.
And then when they get around on this other side, there's a knife that cuts right onto that roll. See, right on like that.
Yeah.
Is that roll turned right around like that? That knife just shaves that milk right off in there, just like a big sheet of paper. See, and as that shaves off, it runs over the knife here, and comes down into a trough with a worm in it, see? And that takes it, runs right over there, and it runs right through a hammer mill. See, and that hammer's blows it right through a fine screen sieve-like. And that's where it gets powdered up, see? Well, then it goes from that right over and runs into a bagger where they bag their powdered milk.
But that is the heart of it there, where the milk comes down between them rollers.
Yeah.
And they got steam in them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all it can do, and then that milk just sticks. The
milk
roller
sticks right onto them rollers there. See, and then as it comes around over that knife, you shave them right off. And them rollers are just as smooth, you know, as that tin is right there.
Yeah. Now, how far back did they operate that? Back early?
Well, let's see. That must have been around...
The 1940s, as early as I know about it.
Oh, that was before that. That was around 1933, 34.
Yeah.
Long in there that I put that in.
Oh, that early. Yeah. You know, I never learned anything at all about working with metal. Now, I had this thing here. You see, this thing works it, except the thing's broken now. Well, the only time I use it is sitting right here, and I can reach over there. And, you know what I did? I kept thinking if I could get me a little piece of... I went from one thing to another, and I finally ended up on one of these plumbing worms. It was a small one. It was right small. But you know, it was heavy even so that it would pull this damn thing out.
Yeah?
It would work all right. But it's too heavy. But you see, I had no judgment at all for it. Well, I used a lot of things. And then I finally went out there. And found this little piece of stuff. See how light it is?
Yeah.
Well, I don't need it quite that long. And all you need to do is hook that. Hook that thing on it, you see. And it turns easy. Now that's the best I've been able to do, Miss Eason. And what I do, you see, I watch the program sometimes too in the news, and I can tell by looking at it whether I want to listen to it or not. And if both come on, I put one of them on tape. And sometimes I just tape the whole thing anyhow. But this way, when I don't want to listen to it, you know, it just
turn it.
Yeah, when you listen to a lot, you see your ears get tired, and you just a lot of it. You see, you just don't want to hear. Well, I'd rather have this thing working, but you know they got so you can't go in there with what they charge you $10 or $15.
Yeah.
Just to look at the thing, and. You know, if you thought they had done anything to it, you'd pay them what it's worth. But I guess suspicious.
You know, there's a funny thing happened to our television. There's a tube going bad in there somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
And you know, the funniest thing, the top half of the picture would be what's right. Well, then the bottom half of the picture would come through, and the darn thing would be bottom side up.
Good Lord, is that right?
Did you ever hear such a thing
as
that? Well, I never did either. Let's see that. And the high-fidelity television man said that there's a tube going bad in there, and he was supposed to come up today to fix it.
Yeah.
Whether he gets there or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the funniest-looking thing that you ever see. Now, you'd see there would be Dave Brinkley on the news, you know. And you'd see the upper half of him here this way here. Well, then the bottom half of it there, you'd see the same thing as this one, be right bottom side up. His head would be on the bottom.
Well, Mr. Eastman.
Yeah, the funniest looking thing you ever see.
Yeah.
So my wife called a television fellow down there in Ocala. He laughed, and... He said the tube going bad in there.
Yeah. You know, I have been tempted to get down to the Sears beat. Now, you have bought from Sears and places like that, and you come out all right. I always lose out.
Well, I don't always come out all right either, as far as that goes.
Well, I thought you did every time.
But you know... If you were going to say something about Sears television, I don't believe in them.
Yeah.
Now, my neighbor down there has got a Sears television she bought down there, a colored television. And she, at the time that she bought it, she also bought I don't know just exactly what they do call it. I can't remember what they do call it there, but it's a repair contract.
Yeah.
That for so much money for so long a time, well, they'll keep it in running order.
Yeah, $50 a year.
Well, she's kept that in force for 3-4 years, and now they won't renew it anymore. If she has any other rework done on it, she's got to pay for it. Well, you know, she'd have that television repair fella up there just about every week. There'd be some tube go bad in it.
Is that right?
And, yeah. And they finally got so that they wouldn't take a renewal on it anymore. So now they said that they was going to give that television to somebody because it cost them more to keep it in operation than it was worth. So that's your Sears and Roebuck television.
Yeah.
And I've seen a number of them. And they don't have as good a picture on them as some of them do. Yeah. Now, if you're going to buy a color television, from what I've seen, I don't have one. I used to have a Zenith television when I was up north. But the Zenith colored television has the nicest color of any television that I ever looked at.
Is that right?
Now, I've got an RCA black and white. Well, it's been an awful good machine. But I've had it going on 7 years.
Uh-huh.
See, I've been married, Evelyn and I've been married 6 years today.
Is that right?
And I had it, well, close to a year before I got married. And
well, Mr. Eastman, do you find Sears appliances in general go pretty good, like a refrigerator and things like that?
I think so. We got a Sears and Roebuck refrigerator, and it's been a pretty good machine.
I give up on the batteries. I bought one or two of those batteries, and I didn't come out well on them. And then you got to do all the work. You take them in, and then you take them out, and all like that. Well, you go to the service station or a battery place, and you don't have to do all that. Well, anyhow. Well, of course you. Will they put install it for you down there?
Well, if you pay extra.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, I bought a Sears and Roebuck refrigerator down there, and they brought it up and plugged it in. Now that's all that they call that installing it.
Yeah.
Well, then it was guaranteed for a year, and all at once it quit defrosting.
Yeah.
And we called them up, and they sent a man up there, and he said, I know just what's the matter with that. He said the heating element is burned out. He said, we've had quite a lot of trouble with them, but he said after we put a new element in, they turn out all right. Well, he put a new heating element in. You see the way those self-defrosting outfits work. Right under your freezing part, there's a heating element. Well, you see, your freezing part will cut off from freezing, and this heating element comes on. See, and that melts all of the ice and everything that your freezing element has created in there, and it runs it all down the drain, see? Well, then there's a pan down underneath that catches that water. Well, then the heat from your refrigeration unit evaporates that water.
Oh.
See, that's the way your defrosting outfit works.
Yeah.
Now, Johnny Palmer just bought a new, one of them great big display cases there, you know, with them freezers in there that got, I don't know, 5 or 6 doors on it. It's a big one. Well, on the back, there's a tube comes down, see? Well, they used to, on them machines, they used to have your tube come down and you had to put it to a drain somewhere, see? Well, now they've come out with an automatic outfit on it. It's got a pan down on the bottom that's about that deep. And it's got a heating element that's right down in it, see? That as fast as that water comes down out of your refrigeration part and goes down into that pan, geez, that pan evaporates it right out of there, see? Well, we just put that one in down there, and I hooked it up. Had to run a new electric line over to it. And I was showing one of the clerks down there how that thing worked, you know. I put my hand on that pan down there, and Jesus, it got hot, and I got burnt my fingers in it. See, there's a cowl rod unit that goes right down into that pan, goes right around the bottom of that pan. Boy, that pan really got hot, because you see, there hadn't any water come down into it yet. I think it would have benefited that cowl rod unit if we'd have put some water in that pan. You see, when that cowl rod unit don't have no water down in there, it kind of burns itself up.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
It's just like one of these water heaters, you know. It's got that cowl rod unit that goes around in there. And if you turn the juice on before you get any water in there, well, your unit will burn up.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the same thing with that thing around in that pan. The more I've thought about it since, that I think that I should have put some water in there.
Yeah. Well, this idea of Sears beats all the other appliance people. You see, they'll go up out there, you go in there, and they won't push you. They'll say, you won't try this for a week or two? They'll send it out. And, you know, the only complaint I have with the appliances like that is that they don't check them out anymore. They just like to come from the factory. Well, you'd say the factory ought to check them out. Well, they ought to check them out, too. So if they'll send it down here and let me run it for a week or two, I'll take a chance on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I figure that's all. I don't want it on approval. I just it's against some of those lazy people up there. And then you see, on top of that, they'll for $50 they'll service it, including the parts. You see, for a year. Well, and then if it takes a while, they'll supply you a television.
Yeah.
Of course, the one they supply you with won't be worth looking to.
Well, I'll tell you about a refrigerator deal that happened down there at Orange Lake. The fellow down and family down there from up in Kentucky came down here, and they bought this McMullen place. And they went down to Sears and Roebuck, and they bought quite a lot of furniture and stuff down there, see, and then amongst it,
yeah,
this refrigerator.
Yeah.
Well, it was guaranteed for so long a time, I forget how much. It don't make any difference. But they was here, and they got a call. He was a fellow that was in the union business up there, and along in with it, when they had that coal strike business up there, when they killed that fellow and his wife and daughter.
Lebronski, or something his name was.
Well, this Murray was a friend of this Lebronski, see. And by golly, after this Lebronski and this union president up there, they had an election, see, and this Lebronski got beat. But this other fellow, you know, he was, you know how them unions run there. There's a little bit of quarrels in there and one thing and another. And because this Murray was interested in Lebronski and one thing and another, this other fellow's henchman up there come and burnt this Murray's house up. Well, he had to go back up there because they was putting them fellows on trial up there, see, for burning that up. So they had some meat and stuff, and they left in that freezer part of that refrigerator and left the juice all on, the electricity was on purpose to keep that meat and stuff that was in there. Well, they got back from the north, and that refrigerator had quit, and that meat had all spoiled in there. And I'm telling you that was the stinkiest mess that you ever smelt in your life. Well, she tried to clean it out, and she used all kinds of cleaner and everything you could think of in there. And then she said that she had it, So it didn't smell anywhere near like it did when it first happened. But they went to Sheridan Roebuck about it because the refrigerator quit and it wouldn't run, and they couldn't make it run. Well, they sent their repairman up there, and he checked it over a little bit, you know, and he opened that door up and he got one whiff of it, and he says, "I ain't going to work on that machine." He says, "That's going right back to the factory smelling just as it is." He wouldn't do nothing for it, though. He says, "I know what's the matter," but he says, "and I can fix it, but it'd be Jesus." He says, "I ain't going to work on that thing when it smells like that." Now, he said to send it right back to the factory.
Yeah.
He said, "We'll send you another machine up tomorrow." So they sent another refrigerator up and picked this one up and took it back.
Yeah.
He says, "There's just one thing that I want to see." He says, "I want to be down there when it comes in," because he says, "I want the manager of Sheridan Roebuck down there to get one smell of that."
Yeah.
I was over there, and I had one smell of it, and one smell was enough now, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, but the televisions, you don't care for the television.
No, I don't.
Well, you know, you...
The black and white may be all right. I don't know nothing about
it. Let me tell you, Mr. Eastman, from the information I have, the black and white ain't any good anymore. People don't buy enough of them.